I want to draw your attention to a familiar passage of scripture this morning. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. The day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This morning, my brothers and sisters, I want to share from the idea, what happens when you are caught in a storm? What happens when you are caught in a storm? An old deacon once stood up in a church meeting and told the congregation about a young man whom he knew. This young man lived a very undisciplined life and did not believe in the truths of the faith. One day, the young man asked a faithful deacon friend to go fishing with him. A sudden storm came up and the undisciplined and unbelieving youth was drowned. Having said this, the old deacon telling the story sat down. He'd obviously made his point about where undisciplined and ungodly living will lead. But after a few minutes, he stood up again and said to the meeting, "Friends, for the honor of the truth, I think I ought to add that the deacon also drowned." When I was a young boy growing up in church, I would hear one of the senior saints say, "In life, you are either heading into a storm, going through a storm, or coming out of a storm." And then they would use the phrase, "Just keep on living." No one, my brothers and sisters, is exempt from trouble. All of us at some point in our lives find ourselves caught in the storms of life. That is certainly what the disciples learned that day on the Sea of Galilee. The day had begun with Jesus preaching and teaching for the crowds on the shore of the sea. But the press of the crowd became so great that Jesus climbed into a boat and pushed out a little way from the shore. From that vantage point, he continued to speak to them. As the day ended, Jesus turned to the disciples and said, "Let's go over to the other side." After a day of pouring himself out for the multitudes, Jesus was drained. Shortly after they had cast off from shore, Jesus was asleep in the stern. Halfway across the lake, they were caught in a sudden storm. Because of the topography of the lake, these storms were not uncommon. The problem was that they usually came without warning and were often fierce in their intensity. This particular storm broke with such fury that the boat was almost swamped. Fear gripped the disciples, even the experienced sailors among them. But at the height of the storm's fury, Jesus continued to sleep in the stern of the boat. They woke him up shouting, "We're going to drown. Don't you care?" With sleep still in his eyes, Jesus got up in the stern of the boat. Over the howl of the wind and the cracking of the boat, Jesus called out the storm, "Quiet, be still." Even more suddenly than the storm had come upon them, it now ceased. The wind stopped blowing, the waves stopped crashing, the sea was like glass. It was completely calm. After his rebuke of the storm, Jesus then rebuked the disciples. With the sad look of disappointment on his face, he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Apparently, The disciples were so stunned by what they had just seen Jesus do that they did not hear, at least they did not pay attention to what he said. They did not respond to Jesus' question about their faith. Rather, still gripped by fear, they said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And I must tell you that as I read and studied this story about the power of Jesus and the weakness of the disciples' faith, I soon began to identify with them. I began to ask myself some difficult and sensitive questions in light of this story. For instance, I wondered, how often have I let Jesus sleep so long as the sea was calm? And I am afraid that too often I have treated Jesus like a life preserver or a fire extinguisher, something you keep around in case you need it, but that you do not bother with until it is needed. And too often as Christians, we take our faith and our relationship with God for granted. An ancient saying suggests that familiarity breeds contempt. While our familiarity with Jesus may not breed contempt, it often breeds apathy and unresponsiveness. I believe it was W.S. Hadley Jones who aptly described how we often get. "Too well, O Christ, we know thee. On our eyes there sits a film through which we dimly see a frozen faith and stagnant memory." When we as Christians let our relationship with Jesus lapse during times of calm, we are putting our spiritual well-being in serious jeopardy. Our faith is like a muscle. If it is not used, atrophy sets in. In other words, we need to use it or lose it. The adventurer Harry Pigeon circled the globe in a small sailboat. Once during an interview, he asked, "Do you know the most dangerous thing a man sailing alone has to face?" The interviewer responded, "I suppose storms and rocks." Pigeon said, "You're wrong. It wasn't storms I was afraid of, but the clear, calm weather when a good breeze was blowing." What he continued to say was, in a gale, when a man goes on deck, he holds fast to something, for he knows he might fall overboard. But in fair, calm weather, he is apt to walk around the deck without thinking. Then a little roll of the boat can throw him overboard, and he is lost. And that is exactly what happens to us. When the storm is raging, we hold fast to Jesus. But when the weather's fair, when things are calm, we forget to hold on. We walk around self-confidently. In that situation, it does not take much of a bump to throw us for a loop. And I am afraid that there have been times when I, like the disciples, have left Jesus alone when things were calm. But as I continue to read the story, I also wondered, how often have I reacted in anger when the storms have hit? Perhaps you will remember that back in the 80s, two prominent movie stars died in separate alcohol-related accidents. William Holden died in a drunken fall, hitting his head on a table and bleeding. About 2 weeks later, Natalie Wood drowned when she fell into the ocean from her yacht. A friend who was close to both of them, actress Stephanie Powers, was quoted in the newspaper as saying, "Two of my best friends are gone. How can a God who is supposed to be kind and loving allow this to happen?" My brothers and sisters, even those of us who are Christians sometimes react in anger to the storms of life. We have asked God why this has happened or why did that person have to die. in spite of the fact that we know we are all liable to fall prey to the infirmities that are common to all flesh, deep down inside, we seem to think that an exception will be made in our case. And I must admit that there have been times when, in the midst of trials and tribulations, I have reacted in anger. Why me have I wanted to, did I want to know? What did I do to deserve this? I have demanded, just like the disciples in the boat. I've screamed at God, I'm drowning. Don't you care? We know that Jesus will always see us through any storm. We know, as the British preacher Graham Scroggie has put it this way, a storm with Christ is better than a calm without him. Knowing that, we still seem to respond to the storms of life with anger. But finally, as I continue reading this story, I also realize how often I have stood amazed at the work of God's hands when the storms are past. And I confess, there have been times in my life, in times of calm, my relationship to my Savior has not been as strong as it should be. And there have been times in my life where my first reaction to the storms of life had been anger and fear and not faith. But I must tell you that time and time again, as I have looked back over my life, after the storms have passed, in amazement and awe, I must admit that things have not always turned out as I might have wished. There have been times when, instead of stilling the storm around me, God had to still the storm within me. In his book entitled A Spiritual Autobiography, William Barclay tells of a time his 21-year-old daughter and her fiance were drowned in a yachting accident. He wrote, God did not stop the accident at sea, but he did still the storm in my own heart, so that somehow my wife and I came through that terrible time still on our own 2 feet. As I look back over the stormy times of my life, times like when I have had car accidents and sicknesses and losing important people in my life, I never ceased to be amazed at the ways that God had worked in my life. Not only had he brought me through, but time after time, I see how he used the storm to bless me. And I believe there are those worshiping with us this morning that have a similar testimony about how God has worked through the storms in your life, how God brought you through time after time, and that the storms you endured had been a blessing in disguise. And like the disciples, I have exclaimed, what kind of God is this? A sculptor once ruined a huge piece of beautiful Carrara marble. It was left in the courtyard of the cathedral in Florence, Italy, for almost 100 years. Most sculptors were convinced that it was beyond repair. But in 1501, a young sculptor by the name of Michelangelo, when asked if he thought anything could be done with the giant piece of marble, he measured the block and carefully noted the imperfections caused by the bungler earlier. To his mind came the image of the young shepherd boy David. So he carefully made a sketch of that biblical character as he envisioned him. For 3 years, he worked steadily, his chisel skillfully shaping the marble. Finally, when one of his students was allowed to see the towering figure, 18 feet high and weighing 9 tons, he exclaimed, Master, it lacks only one thing, and that is speech. From a ruined block of marble, Michelangelo had created one of the greatest masterpieces of all times. In much the same way, I stand amazed at what God is able to do with the trials and tribulations of my life. Admittedly, he had not created a masterpiece, but what he has done in my life is remarkable. I may take Jesus for granted from time to time, especially in times of calm, and I may react in anger when the storms hit. But I also stand amazed at what God has done when the storm has passed. Back in the days of sailing ships, one ship was caught in a storm at sea. Most of the passengers became panicky, rushing here and there in fear. Only one small boy seemed to remain calm and cheerful even at the height of the storm. When someone asked him why he wasn't afraid, he simply replied, "Why should I be afraid? My father is at the helm." African-American singer Aleta Adams wrote, "I know the captain of the ship that I'm sailing on. I know the destination that I'm headed for, and I pray that the wind is at my back and the sun is on my face, so I'll see a better land with God's amazing grace. I'm taking inventory and counting up the cost, and if I keep my eyes on Jesus, I won't get lost, and I pray that the captain of my ship will calm the raging seas and lead me to a land where I can truly be free. There's got to be a better place where my heart can be at rest. As we ride on the wings of love, all nations will be blessed. There's got to be a better hope when I come to the end of my quest, and I can lay my head where peaceful waters flow. My captain says he loves me just the way I am. He'll take me where the lions lay down with the lambs. There is a light that shines from the lighthouse that guides me along my way, where I see a better land, where I'll be free someday. There's got to be a better place where my heart can be at rest. As we ride on the wings of love, all nations will be blessed. May God give us the faith to realize that no matter how threatening the storms may be in this life, our Heavenly Father is at the helm. He is the captain of our ships. What happens when we're caught in a storm? We must continue to trust in the one who's able to speak to those storms and say, "Peace, be still." The message of God for the people of God. Maybe there's someone on this call, this worship call this morning, that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. I want to extend that invitation to you through the power of prayer and ask that you would repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you now to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people into my life who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. Amen. If you believe this prayer by faith, you are saved. If you have any questions about salvation, if you have any questions about your walk with Christ, I ask that you would reach out to me or any of our deacons or any of our members, that we might help you along this journey.